Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, happy Thursday, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And as usual, so we get all that logistic stuff out of the way, for those of you who are in the Los Angeles area, the call-in number is 424-258-9337. And for everyone else, including all of those right here in the, well, it's hotter than we thought it'd be, but hopefully it'll cool down soon, San Francisco Bay Area, the toll-free call-in number is 877-697-9725. Also, producer Kina is in the chat room and waiting for folks to log in. If you have a question, comment, or concern, then you can type that in and she'll make sure that it gets to me. And if you're calling in just to listen, then you can listen in. Or if you have a question you would like forwarded to me, or if you would like to speak to me directly, then you can just press 1 and kind of will be picking you up and finding out what you would like to know. So this week, it's really interesting because since the beginning of whenever, when people all started hanging out together, the idea that not everybody was going to think or feel the exact same thing came into play. And during a time in human history when basically the most free time you had was between dealing with one crisis of survival to the next crisis of survival, it kind of limited that dissension point when everybody was working on, okay, the group needs to survive. We need to go hunt. We need to gather berries. We need to farm. We need to make sure the animals are okay. We need to make sure we're safe from the elements. When you have all kinds of stuff you need to focus on as a group, there's less time to decide, well, gee, you know, you like this particular thing and I like this other thing, so one of us has to be wrong. And I have been noticing a trend, and it's been on the social media and Facebook and in a lot of things and in a lot of discussions. It seems to be there is a trend to decide on how a person is based on the group that they hang around with or the beliefs that they support. And there's light and shadow in everything. And the idea that we all have different ways of looking at things, and especially if those are things that we're very passionate about, having that as a part of our social order allows us to experience things from another person's perspective. It allows for a healthy exchange of ideas, and it allows us to have a chance to take a look at something through someone else's eyes, thus allowing it to see it in a new way. Now, the challenge in that is when we become locked in to our own perspectives and additionally disallow the viewpoints of someone else, that somebody has to be wrong. And the reason that I'm calling this particular episode Us Plus Them Equals We. There are probably as many ways to view life and what is right and what is proper as there are people to feel that way. And especially in a culture that is such a melting pot as we have here, we've got folks from all over the planet, you know, in this country, even in California, in the Bay Area, we've got folks from all over the place. You know, thousands and thousands of languages spoken with, you know, many, many dialects. And everybody bringing not only their unique cultural perspective, but their unique perspective as a person. And I saw something on Facebook. Now, I will start this off with, it is never, ever, ever my intention to offend anyone. If you believe it, I love it for you. If it gives you comfort, I applaud it in your life. It may not resonate with me, but I would never devalue you because that's your way of walking in this world. Now, as I said, it is not my intention to offend anyone. And there's a good chance somebody may end up offended over the discussion I'm about to have. It is not my intention. All I ask is to consider the possibility. Now, as I said, we are creatures of community. And when I see on social media comments about one political party hating everyone, or another political party being the good guys and these the ones who don't agree with us are the bad guys, and this whole attitude of us versus them, and the loudest one wins. If I can interrupt you often enough as you're stating your opinion, then somehow I win. What that does is create an extremely effective block to an exchange of ideas. And everybody feels totally justified in how they feel, and maybe you're right. Maybe everybody's right. And maybe everybody isn't totally right. The idea is that when someone comes up to me with a viewpoint tremendously opposed to what either I've been raised with or what I feel is good and kind and correct or whatever, my choices are to challenge them, to confront them, and figure that if I throw my perspectives and facts at them long enough, at some point they're going to say I'm right. And they're going to agree, and then we can get along and we can be friends because now we agree to the same things. Or I can cut that person out of my life, walk away, write them off, and say, you know what, you know, that's it. You don't go along with my program. You can't play in my playground. Or, and this is the one that I really kind of have fun with the most, I can look at them and say, you know what, I really don't, but I'd like to try. Can you explain it to me? It is amazing how effective that phrase can be, and whether it's a discussion of politics, whether it's a discussion of spirituality or religion or, you know, interpersonal relationships or work situations. The idea that you can look somebody in the face and say, I don't understand your perspective, but I would like to. And really, honestly, ask for it. Now, the trick is that you can't just say that and then spend the whole time that they're talking focused in your mind as to the rebuttals you're going to give. To really honestly sit and listen and then be able to speak your side. It's like, okay, I hear you, and this is how I view it. And then in the end, it's not necessary for you to agree. As long as each side has had the chance to feel like, wow, my opinion was accepted and respected for the fact that it is my opinion. And then we fall back to, well, let's agree to disagree. Which is really, it's a very cool phrase, and I believe it came out like, you know, in the 80s or something. But the idea is we can agree that this is probably something we're not going to see eye to eye on. But that's okay, because that is only one tiny aspect of our total relationship. I have friends who are liberals. I have friends who are conservatives. I have friends who are Republicans. I have friends who are Democrats. I have friends who are tremendously spiritual. I have friends who are atheists. I have friends who are pagan. I have friends who are Christian. And the one thing that we all agree on is we can get together and have a good time, maybe at a barbecue. And, you know, for my friends who are vegan, you know, maybe they just throw some vegetables on the grill. But we can all agree that we care about one another and that we respect one another. And that in spite of the differences we have, the things that bind us make us stronger. That we are a community. And we're not a community that always agrees. Often when we have disagreements, even between family members, between chosen family, between friends, and something comes up and somebody's feelings get hurt and somebody's been inconsiderate, is that a reason to walk away from the entire relationship? Well, I mean, that's for each person to decide. And if you could take away that one day that maybe was just a bad day for everybody, would you still want to be around that person? And the answer to that question is more than likely yes. And if it's not, then that discussion was not what created the rift, and maybe everybody should pick up their marbles and go home at that point. But if this is someone you care about, and they say something very hurtful to you, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, that was really hurtful, and I think we need to talk about it. And to allow the opportunity to go into it, analyze it, and then create a plan so that it doesn't happen again. It's one of our greatest gifts as human beings is that we always have the opportunity to learn. And sometimes when we need to figure out ourselves, we don't have a whole lot of patience for others. And we all hit those points when it's not a good day. And we also have things we feel strongly about. Okay, case in point. I am a chiropractor. I love being a chiropractor. I mean, I passionately love what I do. And I'm able to integrate that with both my spiritual practices, with, you know, my massage and body work, and really able to come from a mind-body-spirit aspect. And by training and by, you know, the degree I have on the wall, I'm a doctor of chiropractic. Now, often people will say, oh, well, MDs hate chiropractors. And they just want to do this, and they all hate you, and nobody respects you, and all of this other stuff. And, okay, that is a reality, but it's not the one I choose, and it's also not the one I've experienced. In my experience, that statement is not true. I've worked very well with MDs. I have treated MDs. And as we come together to help somebody achieve greater health and greater wellness, I do what I do, and they do what they do. And as long as we each do what we do best, we can come to a place of respect with one another and embrace what it is that we do to help somebody else. I mean, yes, there are people who have had very bad experiences with chiropractors. And yes, there are chiropractors out there who probably shouldn't be practicing, as there are mechanics, as there are teachers, as there are politicians, as there are every single field, every way of being has those who carry it well and those who don't. That's the nature of the light and shadow. Mechanic screws up your car, it doesn't mean you never go and see a mechanic again. It means that you just don't see that particular mechanic. Maybe you tell your friends not to see that particular mechanic. In healthcare fields and in fields of spirituality, it is the exact same thing. And there was an old phrase, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And the idea is that you do not lock into an entire group being a particular way, being bad or being whatever, by the actions of members of that group. And I find it interesting that often in cases of people who live, you know, in and work in spiritual communities and do all that type of thing and really embrace that and humanity, there can be a slight intolerance for those who are, say, Christian. I have some of the most adorable Christian friends. I love them and I admire them for their hearts and for their prayers and the way they walk in a world really owning and stepping up and claiming what it is that they believe, even though maybe they can catch some crap for it. And I think that that is a very wonderful way of being. You know, it's very easy to be spiritual when everybody agrees with you. But when you have to kind of stand up for yourself, you know, I have a nephew who I adore who is Muslim. And depending on what's going on in the world, there are many people who don't think that's okay. And there are people who would judge that. There are people who would identify someone as like, oh, they're Muslim, this is how they are, and it's not a good thing. And my nephew is one of the most amazing, wonderful people that I could possibly know. You know, he's being married to my niece. You know, it is just such a wonderful thing. I'm so tremendously happy to have him in my family. And I did not know a lot about Muslim tradition. And through him, I was able to learn about a lot. I learned about are not a part of the Muslim tradition that some people will say is a part of it. And there's a difference between how somebody carries something and how a particular aspect of that group will demonstrate it. And there are people in every tradition that don't hold it from a place of love, that don't hold it from a place of empowering, that it's, no, you've got to believe what I believe or else, you know, we don't want anything to do with you. And while that is a way, and in fact, if somebody honestly feels that if I don't go along with their program, that they can't even be around me, yeah, you know, I'll regret it, but I will honor their right to say that and to feel that way if that's what helps them move through this world. It's not up to me. And often we can bring about change by just being in our good place. By saying, you know what, I don't agree with you, but I do respect you for the fact that you stand up for what you believe, that you will hold that in your own level of integrity, because that is a form of integrity. Even if I don't believe in it, if they're in integrity with themselves and with their view of spirit, that's not for me to judge. And as we move into a time of more political activity and we're gearing up for elections and propositions and, you know, everything has more than one side. And the truth always lies somewhere in between all of the stories and all of the, you know, statements that are made. My view of a wonderful Congress would be that there is no aisle separating the sections. If I were in charge and, you know, just go with me for a minute, my feeling is that the seats should alternate, that a Republican should sit next to a Democrat who's sitting next to a Republican who's sitting next to a Democrat. I believe that everybody should sit all in one section, because if you are sitting right next to somebody and they're saying something, it's not a whole group that is expressing something. It's an individual. And maybe you turn to that person next to you and say, wow, that does not resonate with me. You're sitting here right next to me, and I can see a little bit of a point, but maybe it could be reworded this way. When it all comes down to it, my feeling is that everybody wants to live in a world that is prosperous, that is kind, that is nurturing, and that instills in each one of us pride that we are a part of this wonderful community, whether it's a neighborhood, a nation, a country, you know, across the planet, that we are all a part of a global community. And for those who believe in, you know, the extraterrestrial life and all of that, we are part of a universal community. So the idea that two people can sit down and go, you know what, I'm here at this point and you're at this other point. And if we break it down to really the heart of what we're looking for, I think we're on the same page. It's just a question of how. It's just about what is the modality that the goal is achieved through. And, you know, it's not about Bob the conservative. It's Bob, the guy who goes and helps at the food bank. You know, it's not Amir the Muslim. It's Amir, you know, the one who is helping over at the animal shelter. You know, it's not, you know, Maria, who is, you know, Hispanic. It's Maria, the woman who's the crossing guard, who makes sure that all the children get across the street safely. During a time when, you know, they had the big 89 earthquake, past collapsed, and people were trapped in it without even thinking of their own safety, people crawled in to help. And I don't think anybody cared whether someone was Democrat, whether they were Republican, what religion they were. It was just somebody reaching out saying, you're going to be all right. I'm here with you. And we're going to get you out of this. You're going to be okay. That's the world community. That is my reality. And nobody could ever take that from me. I don't care what anybody says. Believe that inside each and every person is a divine being having a human experience. And whatever that divine being is represented by, whatever faith, whatever belief system, atheist, great, fine, no problem. Whatever you believe in something, but you can believe in whatever you want. And just because I believe it doesn't mean you have to believe it. And just because you believe it doesn't mean I have to. It just means that we look at each other and go, wow, you have this belief, I have this belief, and yet neither one of us totally know how our smartphone works. You know, we can figure it out. But the idea that instead of confrontation, instead of projection onto someone, well, oh, you are this, therefore that's what this means to me. And then I decide what it is that I feel about you based on, you know, okay, well, they're conservative, they're liberal, they're, you know, they're religious, they're atheist, they're whatever. Once you break it down, we're all human beings. We all breathe air. We all consume food. Our traditions may have different foods we consume, but we all consume food. We release waste product. We have cellular division, destruction, and reproduction happening millions and millions of times every single second. And as the saying goes, if you cut us, do we not bleed? It doesn't matter what language they speak. When a child laughs, it makes you smile. And it doesn't matter what culture they come from. When someone is grieving and mourning the death of someone they loved, you want to give them a hug and hold them. Even if they don't speak your language, someone can recognize an open hand and a warm expression. will we pretty much always be separated by theology and politics and, you know, preconceived notions? Well, that's a part of the nature of being human, is that we carry that light and shadow, that concern about what we don't know about, which in my mind is an invitation to learn. Lately, there's been a lot of issues, especially like between police officers and people. And yes, there are people behaving inappropriately on both sides. When I look at a police officer, I see someone who gets up each and every day, who has a job to place themselves at risk for me. And while, yes, there are people, as I said, choosing badly in how they react, who are being hurtful, that's the exception. It's not the rule. And I will never believe that it is. And every time I see a police officer, I go up and I thank them for their work for the community. And I always see a very grateful smile and a hesitant thank you. And I do the same for firefighters. I do the same for military. It doesn't matter what you believe of the military and whether or not military action is necessary or whatever. When you see a soldier, when you see a military person, you know, it's nice to go up and say thank you for your service, especially if it's a veteran. Because, you know, they gave. There's a saying that says, all gave some and some gave all. And I grew up in a military family. And while, yes, there are many sides to many different debates around it, when it comes down to the person, what is a way that I can gentle the world for this one person, because then they're going to go and make the world gentle for another? It's like paying the toll for the car behind you. There's nothing invested in it other than the fact that maybe you made the day of somebody who got up to the booth and realized they didn't have any change. It's all about the little nice things we can do for one another, and that helps make everything smoother for everybody. I think that we probably live in one of the most amazing nations on the planet. And when I think about the preamble to the Constitution, it doesn't say us the people or them the people. It is we the people. And when we can move past how someone prays, how someone chooses to live their life, how someone chooses to walk in this world, how someone chooses to vote, I think we can work on finding that common ground, finding that middle of the road that we can all agree on. And maybe none of us are totally happy, but we're okay. Because either way, somebody looked somebody in the eye and said, don't understand your perspective, but I want to. Can you explain it to me? So, go out and be the best we that you can be. And listen to somebody who's in opposition to you, because actually it's kind of interesting. But either way, I wish you balance and I wish you blessings. And I wish you a wonderful we-dom. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, I will be logging into the chat room after the show. And if you'd like to contact me, you can reach me through my website at www.the-healing-house.com. You can friend me on Facebook, and you can follow me on Twitter. So until next time, I hope that everyone has a chance to be heard and understood. And may you have a wonderful week. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Take care.